all you are. This morning, our first message into this new year, and we are be taking the observance of the Lord's Supper this morning. I've looked at three different passages of Scripture, and I'll be sharing with each point this morning. In the bulletin, you just kind of have a long space there. With everything that was going on, it was hard for me to get my outline to Crystal, and I had little internet problems while I was in Georgia for some reason. But you can write in the points and the Scripture as I give them to you this morning. But I entitled it, No Perfect People. We are not perfect, but praise God, He loves us anyway, right? And hopefully in this message you understand where I'm coming from as we read these, because it's an encouragement. It doesn't mean because we're not perfect that God don't love us and can't use us, because He does and He will and wants to. And I have learned through life that life is hard, isn't it? Life is hard. And, you know, we know we're not on this earth eternally. We're here only temporary. And a lot of people ask, why in the world do Christians or people go through hard times? Well, it all began from the very beginning when man decided to disobey God. And sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, we had an imperfect world. And we have struggled ever since. And God told us we would. And we are and we will until we see Jesus face to face in a perfect world, which is heaven. And there are many people who are wounded and hurting inside. I meet those every day. Talk to them, and sometimes I only have to talk to them. I can just look at a person and see that they're hurting inside. There's something going on inside of their lives by their actions, their body motions, and just the way they respond and so forth, who are dealing with personal and emotional issues. And sometimes we just keep carrying those on with us. And we don't give them up. We can give them up. We can give them over to the Lord. And we as Christians, we should know how to do that. But sometimes we think we're strong enough that we can handle issues and situations ourselves and hardships, but we cannot. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that He's my Savior and Lord, and He gets me through all the tough times in life. And this is not only true with unbelievers, but with Christians as well. All too often we come to church wearing a disguise or what I say, putting on a good front, because we don't want people to know sometimes we're hurting. We want everybody to think, okay, I'm good. All too often we do come to church that way. And people will ask us, you know, how are you doing? And we reply, fine. I'm doing fine, you know, I'm doing fine. When in reality, our life is a mess. It's a mess. So somehow we subscribe to the notion that followers of Christ are supposed to appear perfect. And that's the only ones who can come to church are those who have it all together. We don't always have it all together, do we? So this morning, we're going to learn how Jesus enabled His followers to be justified and sanctified unto God. And First of all, none of us have fully arrived. Paul said that himself. Paul says, I have not fully obtained where I want to be in the Lord. So, if you like, turn to Philippians chapter 3, 12 and through 14. Now, as I was reading the different translations, New American Standard, NIV, no, not the NIV, I don't read that one. New King James Version and King James Version, the Living Translation, but I decided to use the New King James Version in this passage today because of the wording of it. So first of all, Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 says, now that I have already obtained, not that I have already obtained, okay? Paul is saying not that I have already obtained or am already perfected. But I press on, you know, I keep pressing on because I know the Lord is with me, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He said, I belong to him now. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead of me. We can't do anything about the things behind us that we didn't do or can't accomplish. It didn't happen. And that's what Paul was saying. But, you know, I'm looking forward. I'm looking ahead. And that's why he says in verse 14, I press towards the goal of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he said, because of Christ Jesus, I will obtain the glory of God in my life. So when we look at what Paul says in this passage, he was actually qualified by the world standards. He was qualified by the world standards, okay? As the world would see or look at Paul, he was qualified. So if we look back or we look up and examine 4 through 6, Paul stated that he was once very proud of his accomplishments before coming a Christian. And he was born a pure-blooded Jew. He was a Jew. And he was a Pharisee, a great teacher, but he was a lawyer. And Christians were at that time considered lawbreakers. And since Paul upheld the Jewish law so strictly, he persecuted many believers. And we know that as he was headed down the road to Damascus, that's what he was doing, and God stopped him right there and got his attention. He stated that he was never accused of any fault by the Jewish peers. No, they actually lifted him up and encouraged him. And when he persecuted Christians because the Jews were convinced that it was right to do those things. Now, looking on the other side, believers are forgiven of sin and considered righteous before God, all because of what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. However, no one has fully arrived at perfection while living on this earth. And that's why we say we're not a perfect people. Notice how Paul said, I do not count myself as to have apprehended. And that's in verse 13. We all mess up. We all sin. We all make mistakes. However, this fact does not give us the liberty to continue in our sins and disobey or to be disobedient to God. According to Romans chapter 6, Paul admonished, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Then he said, "God forbid it, if we should even think that." If you go on further down in these verses, he talks about the being buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, raised in the likeness of resurrection, to walk in the newness of life in verse 6. So none of us is perfect. Nevertheless, we should keep striving to keep pressing ahead. Now that's why Paul said in verse 14, "I'm pressing on to the mark of the high calling of God in my life." Paul was saying, "I know I'm called. He's placed his hand upon me. He has anointed me. And then I'm pressing on." That's why I am pressing towards the high calling of God in my life. I'm going to apprehend and take control of my life because Jesus Christ is working in my life. And Paul basically said, "I know that I'm not perfect, but I know that God forgave my past when I accepted Jesus in my heart, and so I am not going to remember my past either because it is just, it will get me down." And he goes on to say, "I'm going to forget the past and look forward to the life in God in my future." So Paul, think about it. He developed an own overcoming attitude by reminding himself that God loved him and that Jesus died for both him, us, past, present, and future, for the mistakes and the sins that we have committed. Therefore, he kept reaching for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what you and I are to do. Keep reaching and pressing forward for that prize of the upward calling. And see, God has given every one of us a calling. He calls us to salvation. He calls us to some service to provide and work in the church, in the lives of others, and especially Him. We or to do something for Jesus. And may 2026 be the year that you excel and press forward in accomplishing that task in your life in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a no better Savior and advocate. He's the best boss in the world, right? To rule and give us life eternally. Now, Jesus died for the vilest offender. Now, I want to read Romans 5. I've been in Romans some of my messages, and I want to go back to Romans this morning. Romans chapter 5. Let me go over to Romans 5 here. I thought it was there. Okay. Romans 5, 6 through 9. I'm going to be reading through the King New American Standard. 6 through 9. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone who would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then there's that statement, much more. Much more. That means much more to come. And the Apostle Paul says that many times in this chapter. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath or the anger of God through him. Now, Christ died for the ungodly. He did. That means you and me, doesn't it? The whole world. He died for the whole world, in verse 6. And this sounds unbelievable to many who are lost. They can't comprehend that often. And Paul even tells us how crazy this sounds, stating that we might be able to fathom someone dying for a righteous man. Or maybe even to go as far as to lay down his life for a good man. And keep in mind now, when Paul spoke of the righteous man, he meant someone who was righteous and attained a synagogue or went to the synagogue regular. Or when he spoke of a good man, he meant someone who helped his neighbor or did some good things in the community. Paul was referring to those who were self-righteous. That's what he was referring to, who thought they could earn their way into heaven through acts of service. And it doesn't happen that way, does it? Not at all. God does not expect us to get our life cleaned up before we come to church or before we come seeking him. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He cleans up our life. We can't do it ourselves. I've often heard people state this, and I had to just take a minute and in a right spirit and come back and say, when they say, "Well, I've got to live the life as a Christian before I get saved," and I say, "That will never happen. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. You've got to give your life." Place your life in the hands of Jesus. He starts that process in your life. He forgives you your sins and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Now, we all are born into sin. No one is perfect. Being a sinner is a fact of life. And no one can ever get his or her life straightened out apart from knowing Jesus Christ. And we can't clean up our own life. We can't become good enough to persuade Jesus to lay down his life for us. Not at all. In fact, being good or righteous can only earn his favor. Resting in the saving work of Jesus Christ alone that can please the Father, and only Jesus can clean up our life. But we have to yield it and give it to him. Thirdly, Jesus sanctified his followers. Now, I want to read Hebrews chapter 10, which says, starting at verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of his Son." And here, even in Hebrews, it says much more. "Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgressions of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. I love the book of Hebrews. You ought to sit down and just read this book. And you know, it has a lot of Paul's writings in it, or the meaning of it, but Paul supposedly didn't write Hebrews. Someone maybe of his companion did, Apollos or someone like that. But it has the same message as Paul says in his 13 epistles about this much more to come, and Christ Jesus being our Savior. So when God looks at us, think about that. When God looks at us, he now sees us holy, according to what we just read here in Hebrews chapter 10. He sees us holy, perfect, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which covers us. We are washed, our sins are washed away. A symbol of that is through baptism. We are buried in Jesus' death, in the likeness of his death, but we're raised. When we come out of the water, our sins are being washed away. That's a symbol of the washing away of our sins. And this is a justification that we have in Christ Jesus. However, we still struggle with sin on a daily basis, and this is where justification comes in to effect. We are set apart. We're different from the world because we are Christ-like. Sanctification is the process of being made holy and being shaped and molded according to the character and the image of Christ. You think about that. That's the difference of being outside of the will of God and having Christ Jesus in our life. Now, what I have wanted us to get a handle on this morning is the fact that Jesus died for sinners. All have sinned and come short of his glory. That's you and that's me. Not for those who have it all together. And that each of us is sinners, and none of us have ever fully, what I would say, arrived. As Paul would say, I haven't arrived yet. But I'm working on it. I'm striving. I'm pressing forward. And we will not arrive fully on this earth. For we all mess up from time to time, maybe even more than, I would say, time to time. If believers can ever acknowledge, if we can acknowledge, you and me acknowledge, or grasp these spiritual truths, then discrimination and judgment within the church will become a thing of the past. So in words of Natalie Grant, in a song that she sang, it says, there's no such thing as perfect people, so come as you are, broken and scarred. Lift up your heart and be amazed and be changed by a perfect God. Natalie Grant, that's a song. You ought to listen to that song sometime. Beautiful song, well written by her. And that is true words. Lift up your heart and be amazed what God can do, how he can change you and turn you into a righteous person, because God is perfect in all of his ways. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us so much. And all the words that Paul shared in these scriptures in Hebrews, telling us about your love, your perfection. And Lord, that how Paul says, you know, I haven't attained it. I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't arrived. I'm not even halfway there probably. But praise God, I'm going to press forward to the high calling. And with your grace and your mercy, which is so efficient, will help me arrive. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us so much, and you allow us to take the bread and the cup, which we'll be doing this morning, which resembles your shed blood, your bruised body that you gave for us. We'll never forget that. May each and every one of us, this first Sunday of the year, make a renewal to you. That we're going to strive, like Paul, to press forward to the mark of the high calling that you have placed in our life. And do greater things this year. Not looking back, because we can't change any of that. Can't do anything about that, but we can make a difference in the future, in this year. And may we be steadfast with our commitment, not looking back, but looking forward, and taking your hand as you lead us as a church and as individuals and as a people to perfect the righteousness that you have bestowed in our lives. And look positive to the future, not negative, because this world has a negative tint to it. But there's nothing negative about your word, nothing negative about you, our Father, God Almighty. We should shut our ears and our minds to the negative things of this world, because it'll only drag us down. And that's what Satan wants to happen in our lives as Christians. He already has an unbeliever and the lost looking in that direction. But not us, Lord. The saved and the sanctified. And Lord, that's our responsibility to help them to realize they need a Savior, which is positive and will lead them in the paths of righteousness. Lord, may that be our prayer this year. May that be our individual prayer to make a difference and not allow Satan to discourage or put barriers before us. But look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We praise and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song.